George's Marvellous Big Friendly Fox and the Giant Glass Elevator. Chapter 2. A Tiny Terror. "Poo!" yelled Freya in horror. "There's a giant pile of poo outside the library!" Mrs. Beasley fainted away. "Oh, that's awful," said Sam. "That's terrible," said the other people in the library. And quick as a flash, the whole of them stampeded out the door, leaving just Sam and Freya and the really impressively large, desperately badly smelling pile of poo outside the emergency exit. Mr. Jenkins had heard all the noise and came in to see what was going on. "Well, I'll be hornswoggled," he said in horror. "I'll be bustingly jiggered. I'll be whop-swangled. I've never seen anything so ghastly in all my life. Where did it come from?" "I don't know," said Freya. "It was just there. It wasn't there this morning." "Well, that would explain where the smell came from. I reckon it's been there a while. Right then, girl, you get on the phone the council and ask them to send someone round to pick that up, because I ain't cleaning it up. There's only so many roses I can put manure on, and that's just not happening. I'm not doing that." "Yes, yes, of course I will," said Freya. And she got on the phone straight away to the City Help Desk. "Hello, City Help Desk, how may we help you?" "Hello," said Freya. "I'm the junior librarian at the community library, and we've got a big pile of poo." "Have you considered phoning a plumber?" said the help desk lady politely. No, I mean it's a big pile of poo, and it's not in the toilet." "Ah, maybe you need sanitation." "No, I need a man with a pickup truck and a dirty great big shovel," exclaimed Freya. "It's a monster-sized pile of poo."
"Ah, I see," said the lady.
We don't deal with prank phone calls on Tuesdays. I'm very sorry. You'll have to try another day. Thank you for calling. Goodbye." And she hung up before Freya even had a chance to get another word in.
"Well, that's no good," said Jenkins. "Try another number."
Freya spent the rest of the afternoon, what little was left of it, trying to phone everyone in the council that she could. But of course they all thought it was a prank or a silly joke and refused to help her. In the end, they closed all the windows again, did their best to tidy up as much as they could, and shut the library door, dreading to think what would happen when Popkins came back the next day. Strange things happened overnight on the high street. Lampposts got bent and pushed to one side and the other. Shop windows had their windows cracked. Even the butcher's shop had the window completely smashed in, as if a large hand had reached in and scrabbled for things inside. All the noise, plus the guilt and the worry, meant that Sam and Freya did not sleep at all well that night, and they staggered into the library just after 9 the next day. Mr. Jenkins was already there, looking thoroughly unimpressed.
"I am not impressed," he said. "This mess you claim you cleared up yesterday, it looks even worse today than it did before. You better get your act together. Popkins is due back today."
Sam and Freya looked round in dismay. All that hard work yesterday, and now it looked just as bad as it had before they'd started. "Oh no," said Sam, "this is awful. What are we going to do?"
"Do?" said Freya. "I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put this right. We're going to sort this out. Popkins trusted us. She said that we had to be polite and kind and helpful, and we're going to. We're going to do our very best to sort this out."
"Yes," said Sam. "Yes, we will." And so they started getting to work. It took a long time. Everything was everywhere, and it almost seemed like no sooner did they put a set of books on the shelf that somehow they got knocked off again. There weren't very many lenders in today either, on account of the awful smell and the awful mess. People took one look through the window and ran away. It was nearly lunchtime, about halfway through, and a small, round, grumpy-looking man came in. He walked straight into the middle of the library, stood very still, and looked all around him. Finally, not seeing what he wanted, he opened his mouth, his bristly moustaches bristling, and yelled,
"Popkins! Popkins! 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 Where are you?"
"Yes, Mr. Yardley," said Mr. Popkins politely.
What did I tell you, Popkins, about sneaking up on me?"
Sam and Freya gaped. Where did she come in? Where did she come from?
Mr. Yardley, how can I help you? Said Popkins politely. Mr. Yardley reached inside his jacket and pulled out a fat, flat thing. He shook it out in his hand and it snapped open to form a folding stool. He put it on the floor, stepped up onto it, and glared nose to nose with Miss Popkins.
Now see here, Popkins, he said in a very grumpy tone. This is not on, not on at all. I've heard all manner of terrible things happening in this library. You've left your post. You deserted the library.
I did not desert the library, responded Popkins calmly. I assigned my two junior librarians to look after it in my absence.
Pah! Junior librarians? Junior disasters, he said. Have you not heard the terrible things? Unprofessional piles of poo. It's just not good enough. I told you, Popkins. I warned you what would happen. This is your last warning. Just you see if I don't.
If you don't what? Said Popkins. I'm sorry, Mr. Yardley, but your grammar is very confusing.
My grammar? My grammar? He roared crossly, his moustaches bristling like they were full of tiny insects, all stamping their feet at once. Now see here, Popkins, I have plans for this site. You know that I do. Just give me a reason. This entire library will get knocked down. All these wasteful books and pointless papers mown to the ground. And I will install flats for foreign students and elderly people that smell of wee. And I will soon be the richest landowner in the world. See if I don't.
But Mr. Yardley, you're a council member. You're not supposed to be knocking down public buildings to make your own flats.
Ha! Who's going to stop me? Next week I'm voted in as mayor. Who's going to stop me then, eh? Ha ha! Just you see, Popkins, just give me a reason this entire library will be mown to the ground.
I assure you, said Mr. Popkins, everything will be fine, tidy and in the proper place. Growled Mr. Yardley, before hopping off the stool, snapping it shut, and storming out. The children stared in horror at his departing back. They had never met anyone quite so rude and horrifying in their lives. And then they stared at Miss Popkins, who looked very red in the face and very cross and embarrassed. There was a momentary pause before the children both burst out at once.
It's Sam's fault. It's Freya's fault. She was playing Pokemon. Oh, there were piles of books. There were piles of poo. We tried to put the books back, but they wouldn't fit in. And so I put the dinosaurs in the dieting section, and I couldn't find my Spiro. Mrs. Beasley passed out, and it was really annoying, and there was a terrible smell of... Whoa! Stop! Said Copkins at once.
What do you mean you put the dinosaurs with the dieting?
They both start with the same letter, said Sam. So I thought that would be okay, because you said... We should always stick to the...
Oh, my Lord! Ye gads! Said Popkins at once. Where are they? Where are they?
What, the books?
No, 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 my glasses! My glasses! The library glasses!
They're in the locking up drawer, said Freya.
Quickly, quickly now! Find me the safety pin and the paperclip! Quickly now!
In the end, Miss Popkins used the safety clip, the paperclip, and a naughty word to get the drawer open. Quickly, she put them on. And stared, her face going pale. Oh my. This is much worse than I thought. Quick, where's the phone? She reached for the phone, punched in some numbers, and waited for it to connect.
Sissy, is that you? Yes, I need you to come. Yes, quickly, it's an emergency. Well, no, normally no, but I was away. The librarian's conference. Yes, no, it was wonderful. Yes, Bradley was there. He looked very fetching in a stripy tie. But that's not the point. No, it's an emergency. Really, I need you, urgently. As soon as you can. Yes, thank you. Okay, darling, bye.
What's the matter? Said Freya. I don't understand. Maybe this will help, said Popkins. And she took off the very boring glasses and handed them over. The very boring glasses were a very odd choice for Popkins because ordinarily she used to wear very brightly coloured everything. Her clothes were always brightly striped or patterned, and Sam and Freya had quietly wondered whether in actual fact she got dressed with her eyes closed, or possibly in the dark, because her clothes never, ever matched. The one thing that did work was her glasses, her normal glasses, which were very brightly coloured and had beautiful sparkly bits all over them. The library glasses, in contrast, were very, very boring and frightfully dull. And they had funny lenses on them that looked a little bit like the lenses when you go to the cinema to see a 3D film. Freya looked at them doubtfully before picking them up and putting them on her face. Her eyes opened wide like saucers, her mouth like the tunnel for a train, as she stared around and saw things in the library that she could not see with her ordinary eyes. For example, there was a lady in one section of the library who was baking a cake whilst wearing a floral apron. In another section, there were gangsters having a shootout around the ends of the ancient history aisle. And another corner, there were a group of people arguing about what sort of diet was the most effective. And in the children's library were a pair of baby pterodactyls gleefully throwing books down on passing toddlers. I don't understand, said Freya. Said Popkins. Allow me to explain. And that for now is the end. But listen for the next chapter and find out what happens next in George's Marvellous Big Friendly Fox and the Giant Glass Elevator.